This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson. And today, I have a gentleman here who is big on football. And not only that, he's big on fantasy drafts as well. Let me just do a little bio on him. He is a college football and NFL draft analysis for fantasylife.com. So you can go there and check him out. In 2018, he was named the FSW College Sports Writer of the Year, which is a top award in the industry. He has also been honored in Rolling Stone magazine, the Best American Essay Series, and the Hearst Foundation. Thor Nystrom, welcome to Brews and Crews. I wish I could have you here right now. I see all those football helmets. It looks amazing where you're sitting right now. But, I mean, we're right in the heart of football season, and I noticed you're wearing your Vikings cap, and this is being recorded literally a day after the Vikings just lost the one seed to the Lions. What were your thoughts on the loss?
It was terrible. It was terrible in every metric. Heartbreaking loss, kicking the nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, and now we have to go on the road and we have to play the Lions, which we lost to already the one time. And we have to play on the road pretty much all the way up until the Super Bowl unless something crazy happens and someone has an upset. But do you see a way for the Vikings to actually get to the Super Bowl from this aspect?
Very low odds. Very low. I don't think that they should be favored in LA. They are, but I don't think that they should be. But you extrapolate the money lines out of the remaining games, matchups that they would have. The next week you're at Detroit. You're going to be, what, 6-point underdogs in that game? You're going to be 2-1 plus underdog. And then, you know, on from there, right? I mean, the next one would be at Philadelphia. Same sort of a deal. Like, I don't know. You parlay those things out. Your odds are looking pretty remote with the path you have now.
Oh, yeah. And I saw the Lions coach shook KOC's hand and said, "Hey, I'll see you in a couple weeks." So I'm glad that he's giving us help, but I hate to go back and play the Lions in their home stadium. Cause I mean, our defense, I thought, did fantastic yesterday for the first half. And then they were just dog shit tired. I feel, because I mean, they were holding them and the Lions defense was doing the same thing. But then all of a sudden the second half, you could just see, it just looked like Lions turned on a different aspect and our guys just looked tired.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the defense played okay, but yeah, they kept getting, you know, stranded because of the offense and not putting any points on the board. So yeah, I mean, you expected that you were going to have to get over 30 points to win that game, and that's what it was. And yeah, the quarterback play just was not there.
Yeah, I noticed the offensive line looked like they were letting them through quite easily. But before we get to more of this, I want to know a little bit about your background, because if for what I understand, you're a writer and you have some accolades, and I want to know how you got into the position that you're in right now. That's what I'm kind of about on this podcast, is learning about people's backgrounds. And I just kind of want to know, where did you all start on this?
Well, I mean, like, you know, I covered the NFL draft and college football, and it's what the stuff I've been obsessed with since I was a kid. You know, like I went to graduate school, got an MFA in creative writing, and, you know, I've won some awards for my writing, but like the thing that I like to write about is college football and the NFL draft. So lucky enough that, you know, was able to get a full-time gig in this industry, and I enjoy what I do.
Yeah, then that's great. Do you like college more or do you like the NFL more?
College for sure.
college for sure. I know a lot of people around me, they love college football, and it might be because of the fact that I went to the University of Northern Iowa for my education. So obviously the University of Northern Iowa is not like one of those big bowl teams. I mean, we've had some guys come out of there, but it's just not like one of those, oh my gosh, they're going to the Cotton Bowl or whatever. So it was a little smaller, so maybe that's why I never got into it. I was more into the professional sports. But going back onto your writing, you said you got a degree in creative writing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what were you writing about before you got into your love of sports?
I mean, some of the essays I did, you know, like in grad school and stuff like that, they were on sports. Like I did one about Joe Mauer against Mark Pryor, the draft decision that the Twins had that year. You know, just like, I don't know, just different stuff like that. Some of this stuff was not about sports, but yeah, I mean, like I said, like, you know, could have gone a different path with it. You know, I taught in China for a year after grad school, but I didn't want to teach, or I didn't want to write books or whatever. Like, again, I wanted to cover the draft in college football. So, like, to me, this stuff's fun. Like, it's not work. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to call what you're doing, like, especially when you love it. It's hard to call it work because of the fact that you are loving everything that you are doing. And I just read just today that you had gotten out a mock draft of the 2025 class that's coming out. And I want to go back, though, before we go on to that, because I read some of the mock draft. Was there a draft before this year that wasn't just stands out where you're like, that was a fantastic draft class? I remember that one. That one sticks in my mind.
I don't know. I mean, like, they're all unique, you know, like, cause for my job, I have to dig so deep into them. So they're all, you know, by the end of it, they're all like their own little beautiful snowflakes. I guess like if I had to pick a specific one, since I've been doing it, it'd be that class where Baker Mayfield went first, and Sam Darnold was in that draft. They thought he was going to go first till the very end. And then Cleveland, they ended up picking Baker. Josh Rosen was in that class. Josh Allen was in that class, and Lamar Jackson was the last pick of the first round. But that was a pretty wild class. I love Lamar Jackson. Like, I had him rated like the highest in my industry. I had him in my top five, but I also whiffed big on Josh Rosen, who I had unfortunately at the top of my board. So it's the fun thing about like NFL draft stuff, because, you know, I mean, like all these different guys, all these different profiles, like parsing them, you know, like projecting them, what's their risk profile, what would the ceiling look like if they hit, you know, what's the median outcome, you know, like it's just interesting. And then, you know, dropping like a value on it and stacking a board, you know, by the end of the process, I have a 500 player big board with 500 player comps on it. You know, it's one of the, probably is the deepest in my industry, but I love player comps. So I put 500 on there too. But anyway, it's a labor of love.
Well, I mean, that's a huge class, because I think about two or three of them are already being in the talks for MVP this year. It sounds like Lamar's right up there again, it sounds like, because he's just having a crazy year per usual. And then you're also having Josh Allen, who's playing again, unbelievable. But then you have this kind of this dark horse, which I think is Sam Darnold, which nobody expected any of this year, because he's basically been kind of shunned since his Jets times, and he was a backup quarterback last year. Now all of a sudden he's 14-3. What do you make of that anyways?
Supporting cast and coaching.
Yeah. Everyone says KOC is like the quarterback whisperer. So it seems that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's a guy that struggled going through progressions his entire career. Like he always had a big arm. He's always been athletic. The issue is when the first look's not there, getting to the second one, getting to the third one, and things would bog down for him, and he'd make mistakes. He'd make YOLO decisions. He'd take a bad sack. He'd throw it into a linebacker's chest plate. When with KOC, you have, first of all, you're playing with the best football player on planet Earth and Justin Jefferson. The first option invariably is going to work, but you also have one of the better number two receivers in the NFL in Addison, and again, the play caller who's consistently scheming open looks. You saw in the Lions game, a game where when his process is sped up, you saw what happened. There's open receivers running down the field the entire game, and he can't see them. His brain's right. too sped up. So, I mean, like, there's he's never going to reach the ceiling of what people wanted him to be when he was a top three pick, you know, of a guy that's going to, like, lift the boat of everybody else. But he can essentially be what he's been up till this point, which is a guy who will be lifted by his surroundings. And it happens, so happens with the Vikings, those surroundings are the best in the league. So this is the best you're ever going to see Sam Darnold.
Okay. Now I have a question, because to me, I'm just absolutely confused over this. They signed Daniel Jones, but we also have JJ McCarthy. I don't get it, but I think you might have a better idea than I do of what the Vikings might actually be doing with this whole, you got JJ, you got Daniel Jones, and now you still have Sam Darnold, which I don't think they obviously thought he was going to do what he did this year. What do you think happens next year with the Vikings quarterback lineup?
Well, Daniel Jones was signed to be the essentially take the Sam Darnold contract and the same spot that maybe Sam would have been this year if JJ hadn't gotten injured. But next year, that's Danny Dimes is going to be the backup and the veteran, you know, the mentor to JJ McCarthy. And he's almost assuredly going to get just about the same contract that Sam got this offseason, something like 110, you know, something like that. And then meanwhile, with Sam, we'll see what his trademark it ends up being. He's going to have a better game against the Rams than he just had. If they can retain some sort of, you know, if there's a robust market for him, that's where you can franchise tag him and trade him. The Panthers last offseason did this with Brian Burns to the Giants. They got a second and a fifth round pick. We see this ever Matt Castle back in the day as a quarterback example of this. But if the market is more tepid on it, you let him walk, and then you're going to get a third round comp pick in 2026. So you're not leaving it empty handed necessarily, but you prefer to be able to do the tag and trade. But yeah, Daniel Jones is going to be the QB2 with the Vikings next year.
And JJ will be the one, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, and that's very interesting in my mind, because of the fact that, I mean, you know, all Sam Darnold has to do is win one playoff game, get Kirk Cousins' agent, and he'll be set for life. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins got a good agent. That dude's made a lot of money for sure.
It looks like he's going to be on the chopping block too in Falcon territory this year.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, I don't follow college to the best of my ability, but I did look at your mock draft that you have. And I don't know, are you able to discuss that right now?
Sure. I'd like to
talk about that. Perfect. Sure. You got Tennessee having the number one pick, and you think they're taking Deion's son, Shadur, right?
Well, Tennessee has the number one pick. Those were finalized yesterday with those games. So the top 18 is set. You know, they will be picking at the top of the board. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be between Shadur Sanders and Cam Ward of Miami. There's quote unquote reports out there that they prefer Cam Ward. I don't believe them. I've been in this industry for a while. If there's stuff that comes out this early in the process, it's invented. So, I mean, we'll see. I think Shadur Sanders is the best quarterback in the class. So that's why I put him there. And we'll see the rest of the thing play out. You know, we got months to go. We got what, four months or so. But yeah, that's what I got right now.
Okay, and then what I want you to give me your take on what you think about the Colorado and the whole Deion thing, because I feel like they're like the Yankees. Either you love him or you hate him, and there's a lot of hate against them, but then there's a lot of people that think it's really cool. What are your thoughts on the whole Deion takeover with Colorado and what he's done there?
I mean, I like what he's done. I guess I'd be in the group of his fans. He came up with a new way to build a college football roster. You know, like, he was ahead of his time as far as overturning an entire roster using the new transfer rules and NIL. And he got a lot of crap for it initially, but he took a 1-11 team, and in his second season they nearly made the Big 12 title game, and then they would have been, you know, one step away from playing in the college football playoff. So it was an incredible turnaround, and now everybody does it his way. Indiana, Cignetti. He didn't get criticized for it, but that's what he did this offseason. It's the same thing. Got rid of 35, 40 guys, and then he just upgraded at every position through the transfer portal. So Deion Sanders is good for the sport. We'll find out if this sport or the NFL is going to have him next. I would imagine that he'll get a little interest with the head coaching jobs in the NFL. But, I think he's great for college football.
So I was hearing something somewhere, and I can't remember where I listened to this, but it was saying it would be smart if the Dallas Cowboys could get up and get the pick and then also get Deion as the coach. Have you heard that at all, or did I just make that up out of the thin blue air here?
The Cowboys?
Yeah, because I know it looks like Mike McCarthy might be out. It's kind of looking that way. They haven't said that yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it would make sense. You know, I mean, you have the obvious tie-in there. I never really know what Jerry Jones is thinking. I thought it was weird when he hired McCarthy himself, but you never really know. But yeah, I mean, that could for sure be an option. You know, it's a circus down there. And the thing with hiring Deion Sanders, you're going to lead the NFL in merchandise sales next year, and you're probably going to lead the NFL in primetime games scheduled. There's going to be all this added attention on you, but also in your revenue streams, they're going to explode. Like, attention just follows that guy wherever he goes. So, like, from an economic standpoint, honestly, if you were an owner, you don't have to live and die with every individual season. You have a 40, 50 year lifespan with the thing. If I was an NFL owner, 1,000,000,000%, I would hire Deion Sanders. There's no way that my investment goes bad. Like, we're going to make a lot of money when he's here. And I happen to think he's a good coach too. But even if I'm wrong, you know, it would just be a couple of years. We get a couple of high draft picks and we're going to make some money.
Yeah. And he just, you know, like you said, he just draws money wherever he goes. He draws attention. He did when he was in the NFL. I always liked him because he was showboaty, but some people hate that showboatiness. And I just think it's great. Now, you have second. You said Cam Ward was another one, possibly going to the Giants. But then we go back down to number three, and you have Cleveland going with Travis Hunter, who is actually a cool story. He's a two-way player, which is a receiver and a cornerback. Do you think he'd be able to play both sides in the NFL? I feel like that'd be pretty tough.
He definitely will. The question is what percentage of offensive snaps does he play as a rookie? Like, it's hard for me to peg that because this is a quasi unprecedented player. You know, I mean, Deion Sanders, he played a little bit two ways, but it was very situational. Charles Woodson, Cham Bailey, Travis Hunter, he's going to be way more than situational. So, I mean, it just comes down to, you know, what is a rookie do you think he can handle? I don't know, 40 to 50% of the snaps, I would think. You know, I mean, if it was me, the best fit for him would be a team that needs a cornerback and they run a 12 personnel base offense. So you have two tight ends out there mostly. But then when you go to the three wide receivers, that's when Travis Hunter comes in. That's what I would do. I would have a totally different playbook for Travis Hunter, three wide receiver sets. He can run out there in the slot, and we're going to manufacture touches for one of the most electric playmakers to enter the NFL the last 20 years.
When you watched him play, did you think he was a better receiver or cornerback when you watched him or dove deeper into his situation?
I mean, he was one of, if not the nation's best of both, one of the top two or three. I mean, so you're sort of parsing, you know, in the NFL, I think you derive the most value out of him by playing him full-time cornerback one, and then situationally on offense, because you don't really do it the other way around. You know, like, I mean, the ones we've seen, it's been the full-time corner and then part-time on offense, and it makes it easier to, you know, learning a part-down playbook. But, you know, in that case, my suggestion would be a playbook, essentially the Travis Hunter portion of the playbook. So that's what I would do.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing I always think about when I hear Cleveland is it's just a place where quarterbacks go and die, and he's not a quarterback. He's a cornerback and a wide receiver. So hopefully he's got some people around him that could make him well or good if he's actually going to go there. Do you have a person in the draft that you think is a big underdog that people are maybe overlooking?
I don't know. I mean, it's a little early, you know, like, I don't know the rankings out there and stuff. You know, one obvious one I could toss out is, you know, people would probably say Cam Scadabaugh, you know, is a guy who's overcome a lot and has been overlooked. And, you know, and then he starred, you know, as recently as the last game against Texas, and they ended up losing in overtime. Arizona State did, but Cam Scadabaugh is a really good running back. He's a good receiver, and he breaks a metric ton of tackles. It'll be interesting to see how he tests. That's going to inform where he goes on day three. I think that's probably where he's going. If he tests decent, I think he'll go round four. And if he doesn't test very well, I think probably he goes round seven by a team like the Rams that don't care about the testing. But he'll fall if he tests poorly. But he'd be one guy who's like, you know, he's just a fighter. He's like 5'8" and, you know, 220 pounds, and he just throws people off him. Like, he's like this little berserker. So
I had no idea who he was until I just watched their game the other night. And I was like, who is this guy? He's just like fired up on all ends. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm taller than him, but I'm not positive. I can't tell from the TV, but that was kind of interesting. He looked like a hard head, hard nose kind of guy. So that's one that could possibly be an underdog. Now, I want to go off of some history. Is there one person that really kind of like disappointed you when they were drafted? They just didn't do what you thought they were going to do? Because I was listening to Johnny Manziel's podcast, and he was interviewing Matt Leinart, and it just had me thinking about people that you just thought they were going to be amazing because they were so great in college, and then all of a sudden they just didn't get into whether it was a program that fit their skill set or they just didn't have what it took. Is there someone out there that is kind of a disappointment that you've ever thought about that was going to be just amazing?
Oh, there would be a bunch. There's several in every class. You know, I mean, like you do a 500 player big board, you are making 500 predictions, you know, on outcomes that haven't occurred yet. So no one's going to go 500 for 500 every year. Certainly, you know, I am not the exception on that, but yeah, like I have bad calls every process. Like, Hakeem Butler was a terrible take. I had him wide receiver one, his class. I, you know, swung and missed on that one. I like Jalen Reagor his year coming out of TCU. It's a bad call. I mentioned Josh Rosen before. You know, I mean, I, you know, everybody that does this, you sort of have your greatest hits of like guys you whiffed on, and then, you know, your greatest hits of the dudes that you connected on. But yeah, you're going to have both.
Absolutely. And you have a favorite college team that you watch? Is there one that just that's the one you watch? Because everyone seems to have one. I don't have one because I went to the University of Northern Iowa, and I never, like I said, never really watched college. Is there one of your favorite teams out there that you always behind?
Yeah, for sure. Kansas, because that's where I went to undergrad. And then Iowa, because that's where I went to grad school.
Sure. And Iowa had a lot of people that came out of there. I just saw, Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. They were on there with Caitlin Clark, and they were talking about all the Iowa people that have come from there. And there was more than I even remembered. I didn't realize how many people actually came out of there. Were you actually at school with any of those while they were there?
What, the tight ends? Or?
Yeah, like any of the Iowa people that went to the NFL, were you in class with any of those people at all?
Oh, no, they were not in the graduate writing program. I taught, I think, in my class, maybe two of them. One of them was a freshman running back from Toledo. I remember a three-star. Brad Rogers, actually, is what I think his name. He never played. He transferred after, I think, a year or two. And then I think one other dude. But no, we didn't have any of the football guys in the graduate writing classes.
Yeah, and like I said, I went to University of Northern Iowa, so I was just down the highway from the University of Iowa as well. So, again, not a big football school, but we have a couple of guys like Kurt Warner, obviously, that came from there, which is a pretty cool story in my mind. Yeah. Did you ever watch American Underdog at all?
Oh, is that the Kurt Warner movie?
Yeah.
No, is it worth watching?
I think so. I've watched it three times. I think it's a really neat story. Yeah. Right. It kind of goes a little bit along, like, it's not just like a good movie. It kind of goes along a little bit of a Christian aspect of it as well at the same time, it seems like, because of his faith. He always talks about how that is. But I always thought it was a good story, no matter who you are. It was kind of neat to see the guy play his part. But I guess I just have a little bias because I went to Northern Iowa for my college. Sure. But I think it's kind of cool. I noticed on your background that you got a whole bunch of mini helmets. Are those just all college football teams?
Yeah, I got all 134 FBS teams back there, and then I think I have seven FCS right now. The FCS is the next, you know, frontier for me, because I now have all the FBS. And over there, you can't see it; the camera's not pointed that way. But I got all the NFL ones. 32 of those. So anyway, I had to keep it branching out somewhere. So that's why we're on to the FCS now.
Do you have like a bunch of memorabilia? Cause I love sports memorabilia. I like signed jerseys and all that. I just don't have a lot of room for it, but do you have like a room full of just autographed memorabilia somewhere?
I have a little bit. I definitely would like to have more. But yeah, no, like I have, one of those, you know, it's like the Mike Tyson punch out, and it's got like a little Nintendo controller on there, and then Tyson signed it. That's sweet. And then I got, you know, I got like a John Randall, you know, signed full size Vikings helmet. It's pretty dope. I got some cool sports cards, but yeah, I mean, like maybe down the line we'll get more into the memorabilia.
Yeah, it's a little bit more spendy. Even a mini helmet nowadays, if you want a good mini helmet, it's like $100 with an autograph on it. So
that's where you can see where all my money goes to. So it's
It was like $35 a pop.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit. As we're starting to wind down here, I want to respect your time, obviously, but I want to get two predictions from you before we head out here. I want to get your prediction on the college. Who do you think is going to be the top dog, the top winner in the championship, or who's going to go to it and then win, I guess?
Chalk would definitely be Ohio State, but I'm not going to pick Ohio State. I'll say Notre Dame. I'll go with the dark horse.
Notre Dame. Okay. Is there someone on that team that is just standing out for you that would be a great asset to an NFL team someday?
For sure. Their running back, Jeremiah Love, is going to be the top running back taken in the next draft. Not 2025, but 2026. He's a stud. But yeah, he's not draft eligible yet. But yeah, you'll see. We'll be talking about him next spring. The quarterback, Riley Leonard, he's going to go on day three in April. Probably be fourth round pick. He's kind of like in college. He's kind of like a poor man's Daniel Jones. You know, he's tall, he's well built, he's athletic. He's decent throwing short and intermediate, but it's downfield is where it kind of lose it a little bit. So it makes him a little bit easier to defend, but he can run around and he gives you a short area accuracy. So they you know, and then their pass defense is really good. So I think that they could match up with Ohio State.
Sure. And so you said you're not going to pick Ohio State, and I noticed they just kind of blew out the Oregon Ducks. Was there a reason why you're not choosing Ohio State? Do you not like them, or you just think that Notre Dame's got the better chance?
It's because Ohio State had two significant season-ending injuries to starting offensive linemen back in October. Left tackle Joshua Simmons, who's a first-round prospect, He got knocked out for the season against Oregon the first game, and then the center, Seth McLaughlin, about a week later in practice, he got injured for the season. And so Ohio State had to do a whole bunch of shuffling with their offensive line, and the upshot is that they're now starting four guards to the left of their right tackle is how they had to do that. And the offensive line has held up the last couple games. I have questions of if they can win four straight games against really good opponents with what is a thrown together injury decimated offensive line. I don't think that they can.
Sure. And then I want to get into the NFL, but before I ask you who I who you think is going to win the Super Bowl. Give me your fantasy of who you would love to see playing each other, because I would love to give you mine after you give me yours.
Vikings, Bills, for sure.
That was mine, too.
Yeah.
Two easy. People who have been in, what, like four Super Bowls and can't pull easy. It off?
That's literally what everyone should answer for that question. One of those franchises deserves a Super Bowl, so let's just figure it out. Someone's going to leave happy, and then the other fan base will be happy for him. So
that's true. And even if the Lions go and they play the Bills, I mean, they none of them have any championships, so I think that's kind of a cool aspect in my mind.
I don't have any empathy or sympathy for the Lions right now.
None whatsoever, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, as we're starting to wind down here, what other things do you do outside of just the analysis things outside? Do you have any fun hobbies that you do that, you know, nobody really knows maybe a little bit about?
No, not really. Since my life's on social media, I think everybody knows what I do, but, you know, I like to play the college football video game, the college football 25. I like to have, friends over, watch the football games. I like to go down to the games, tailgate and stuff like that.
I wanted to ask you about everyone was talking up the college football game because it hadn't been out for a long time. Is it as good as everyone says?
It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think, you know, they couldn't have gotten everything perfect, but I think for like the first version that they had released in like 11 years, like it's pretty good. It's, you know, and it's definitely something that they can build on going forward. But yeah, like I've enjoyed it.
That's awesome. Well, Thor, I want to thank you so much for coming on, taking time out of your Monday night and joining me on the podcast. Can you plug where people can find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at ThorKU, and you can find my work at Fantasy Life.
Perfect. And once again, thank you for coming on. And this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. Make sure you go out and follow, share, comment, whatever. You can watch us on YouTube if you want to see our pretty faces. Otherwise, you can go on all the audio streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Amazon Music, and so on and so forth. But again, this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. I want to thank Thor one more time for coming on, and have a great week. Cheers.